I'm going to teach more on leadership today because of the ordination coming up this Friday night.
Dad, please.
And what I'd like to do today, as I feel like I've been laying a foundation, so Dave and Sam are going to have to watch this video. I guess Liz and Josh are going to be watching it too. But I want you guys to hear this because the Apostle Paul wrote a letter to his beloved son, Timothy. He called him my true son in the faith. So you have your family people, but then you've got your real family that comes because of God. And to me, those are very precious. Spiritual children and spiritual brothers and sisters. I just want you to know that my spiritual brothers and sisters are my true brothers and sisters. That's true. There's no doubt about it. You know, we put a lot out there about the physical connection because we have something called genetics that can prove it. You know what I'm saying? What if somebody tested you spiritually and saw your genetics and realized, hey, you're related? Right? Don't we have the same Holy Spirit in us? It's not just a genetic connection, you know, because we can be genetically connected to some things. Other things too. We all share a lot of genes. We share a lot of genes for monkeys, for example, but it doesn't mean we're monkeys, right? So you can't put all your trust in genes. Amen. So we're gonna go through 1 Timothy, and I'm gonna do this in an amazingly incredible amount of time. We're gonna get through it in maybe a half an hour. I want to go through 1 Timothy, and I want to give you 11 points about doing a good job. Everybody say good job. That's one of Bruce's favorite sayings we taught him from the very beginning. We said, our grandson, we said, hey, if you do a good job, you need to be told. And the people love that when his classmates would say, Bruce tells them, good job. And they really like that, okay? And we're going to turn to 1 Timothy chapter 1, and we're going to let the Holy Spirit speak to us through the Word. Lord, I pray right now that, y'all pray for me, okay? Lord, I pray that I get the words that you want me to speak, Lord. And I thank you for the Word of God that's here. So I know all I have to do is read the Scripture, and that's good. That's really awesome. But Lord, I also pray for the prophetic preaching of the Word so that the Scripture looks even better and more powerful, and that, God, you would bring more glory to your name in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Okay, here we are. So Paul's an apostle of Christ Jesus by the command of God our Savior. Everybody say, God our Savior. And of Christ Jesus our hope. To Timothy, my true child in the faith. There it is. It's true. It's the real child. Paul was probably a widow. And we don't know if he had children, but he said true child. And so I think he probably had kids, adult children. But Timothy was something new for him. And grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. Can somebody say amen to that? Amen. Isn't he Lord? And isn't God our Father? God was not my Father until Jesus Christ became my Lord. Because I didn't really know him as a Father. But it was Jesus that came and brought God to me in a fatherly way. So I urge you, when I was going to Macedonia, remain at Ephesus so that you may charge certain persons not to teach anything different. No different doctrines, nor to devote themselves to myths and endless genealogies. Promote speculations rather than stewardship from God. That's by faith. Why do we want godly leaders? Because they've got to do a good job because of all the junk that's out there. And there's plenty of junk. And I have to say, there are groups that call themselves Christians that believe a lot of junk too. They do. They call themselves Christians, but they are into speculations, myths, and some of them are into endless genealogies. I'm serious. They are into it. And they promote speculations and stewardship or management. God, you know, when you're a steward or you're managing something, that means you've been given something so valuable that you need to take good care of it. And that's the Word of God. When you're given the Word of God, you need people that know how to take good care of it so that you don't abuse the Word of God. You don't mess with the Word of God. And we're going to talk about this. Okay, the aim of our charge is love that issues from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. Certain persons, by swerving from these, have wandered away, vain discussion. Hey, just, you want to see vain discussion? Just flip on the news. You know what I'm saying? Listen to a political rally. You know, certain persons, by swerving from these, desiring to be teachers of the law without understanding either what they are saying. Look at this. Desiring to be teachers of the law, the word of God, the scriptures. They want to be teachers, but Paul says they don't even get it. They don't understand it. They're very confident in their assertions. And I really, oh yes. And you hear people, I mean, some of the stuff that makes me laugh is when people make statements about science that don't know what they're talking about. You can tell a really smart person who won't make confident assertions about things. They'll hold their tongue back because they just don't know. Because they know the ones who really know. And they say, I don't know like that guy. That's the one of the good things. It's your sense of humility. Amen. Come on. Okay. So here's the thing that you need to see in verse 8. We know that the law is good. Everybody say good. This is the first good. The first good. I'm going to give you 11 goods in this letter. 11 of them. Okay. 11 goods. The first thing is the law is good. The law is good. If. What does he say? If you use it the right way. Use it the right way. Use it the right way. And there are people that take the scriptures and use it to justify stuff that God never wanted to justify. Think of it. One thing. You can think of a bunch of stuff. The way people dress. Oh, the Bible says you're supposed to wear this. And then what people will do, they split churches because of the way women dress, right? Or how about definitions? Or how about, you know, when to meet, what day of the week to meet? Or how about, I mean, you just go right down the list. That means you're not using the law the way God intended it to be used. These guys know that I'd kick their tails if they started teaching weird stuff. Am I right? Yeah, it's true, because they've been trained. Don't mess with the law and don't make it say something it's not meant. And one of the most important things about teaching the law is understanding how it's fulfilled in Jesus. The law is meaningless without Jesus. Okay, let me try it over here. Wait. The law is meaningless without Jesus. It doesn't mean anything. Why? John 1:1. In the beginning was Jesus, the Word. In the beginning. So it has no consequence because it's fulfilled in Christ. Jesus said, Jesus is the teleos, the end, the completion, the finishing touch. He is. When Jesus came, he said, we're going to put the cherry on top of the law and make it perfect. It's done. That's why he said it is finished. That's one of the ways that you understand what he said on the cross when he said, it is finished. That means the work of God was complete in Christ. So, you know, if you read the Old Testament without Jesus, you're reading an uncooked omelet. That these guys have been confronted with the importance of learning how to speak the word of God in a good way, in a lawful way, in a right way. And there are people in our culture today who use the law in an illegal way. It's called lawfare. And they take the law and they abuse it. And they just dare some judge to smack them. And I think some judges are going to be smacking more, okay? Because you don't want to see innocent people being, you know, brought in court. That's horrible. And you don't want Christians to be, you know, you don't want religious systems that are created by someone taking scriptures and creating some kind of religious system. We don't live for religion. I hate to say it like that, but it's Jesus. It's Him. And we don't want to create these. Some of them are really complex. Okay, let's go on. That could be just one message we could leave right there. Okay? So, 1 Timothy 1:8. Now, let's go onwards. And about how this, you know, how people will use the scriptures to justify everything. How about that? Murderers, right? See that, verse 9? How about sexually immoral people using scriptures for that? There are denominations now that are justifying sexual immorality. They're doing it. I have friends dealing with it. Okay? Now, let's go here, verse 12. I thank Him who has given me strength, Christ Jesus our Lord, because He judged me faithful, appointing to me for His service. So that's something that God does. So when we ordain, we're going to be saying to these guys, we see God judging them faithful. Amen? And I see that. I receive mercy. And any minister of the Lord knows that you can't serve the Lord except by one thing, the mercy of God. Come on. And the more you walk with God, the more you realize how you need mercy. Not because you're trying to do more wrong, it's just because you realize how good God is. Amen. Someone say amen to that. And when you see how good God is, you look at yourself and you're going, eh. Anyway, He wants to display His perfect patience. Perfect patience, right? Now we're going to go down to, and Paul starts singing a hymn. You know, Paul just breaks out into worship after he talks about how God's got to be so patient with him. Come on now. I guess me to worship when I think about what God put up with. Okay, verse 18. Here we go. Here's the second one. The next good thing. I entrust you, Timothy, my child, in accordance with the prophecies previously made about you, that by them you may wage the good warfare, the good fight. Everybody say good fight. So the first thing we had was the good law, right? As long as you use it the right way, right? Now the second thing is a good fight. And what do you fight with? What did Paul tell Timothy to fight with? It's right there. Oh, really? Really? Yes. Personal prophecy. And I would say there's a whole bunch of Christians out there who don't even believe in that. They don't believe in it. Well, Paul says right here, you had a bunch of them. Maybe you just didn't know it when you got them. How many of you know that if a donkey can prophesy the word of the Lord, so can you? Amen. Sure, I heard that amen. Thank you, brother. Now look, God speaks to us. One of my dearest friends, Gerard, wrote his doctoral thesis with a major seminary on dream interpretation. And you know what his number one point is in his dream? And he uses it for evangelism. So you know what he does? He believes, and I believe it with him, everybody hears from God, even non-believers. They hear from God all the time. They just don't know He's talking to them. That's based on a scripture in the book of Job. It says, God's speaking to man once, twice, in his sleep. God speaks to everybody, but they just don't know who's talking to them. And therefore, so what He does is He leads people to Christ. He loves going to other countries dominated by other religions, and He loves leading them to Christ because all He has to do is go up there and say, just tell me your dreams. And they start telling Him His dreams, and He interprets it for them. They go, well, what? And then they start hearing God loves them and all this stuff. Next thing they get saved. Why? Because they had personal prophecy given to them by dreams. You see what I'm saying? So who are we to say there's no personal prophecy for today? Y'all dreaming, aren't you? Now, if someone gives someone else a dream or a vision or something, if God can give you that, then why can't God give you the word of the Lord? And I know there are times I've heard the word of the Lord from unexpected places. The problem is, It's religion. So you got to get out, get free from that, and let the Word of God speak for itself. How many of you would like to continue to be equipped to give personal words? I've done it. I've given them to people in my early ministry. It takes risk, because if you're getting up there and you get this sense of the Holy Spirit in your heart, what you want to say. Sometimes I don't know what I'm going to say until I open my mouth. I just feel the stirring of the Holy Spirit and I just start to speak and I don't know what I'm going to say. That takes faith, doesn't it? That means you're trusting in the Lord. It's the same principle behind the gift of speaking in glossolalia, or tongues. You open your mouth and you just say whatever comes out. It may sound stupid to you. There are times I've given words that made no sense to me, but it made sense to everybody else. I sat in a basement. I'm sorry, I'm telling an old story from back in the day. Okay. So we're down in the basement in Hazelwood Lane in a home meeting down there, because that was our church, a home meeting. And this gal named, not Wendy, but it was the other gal. There was another gal that we used to have in our church. She started yelling out in some kind of weird tongue. Huh? No, Arthur Lease was there at that time. And I know who it is, but I want to try and remember her name. Because it's like, huh? Anyway, praise God. Remember something you hadn't thought about in 30 years. But here I am. We are in this meeting, and this lady, I could see her, Wynn Bledsoe. Wynn Bledsoe, thank you, Jesus. Amen. Praise God. I had to dig a little deeper in the filing cabinet to get that name out. Right? But it's still there. Praise God. Okay, so we're sitting there in this meeting, and this gal, Wynn is just a regular person in the church. Could be any of you. And she just starts going, I'm like, weird tongue, weird stuff. Guy named Arthur Lease is there. Lifelong missionary to Africa. He starts laughing and crying at the same time. He just said she spoke a perfect dialect of a tribe that I work with. Praising God. She prophesied. We're like, crack it up. God gave a word just for him. And she felt stupid when she was, right? Because, you know, I've heard some of those African languages. You've heard the clickers? Yeah. What if God gave you a tongue in click language? How would you feel? So, listen to me. You fight the good fight. Good warfare comes when God speaks to you his word. And always remember our doctrine here at this church. It's in 1 Peter. The prophetic word always makes the written word greater in our lives, not less. Yeah. Hear me on that. That's what Peter said. We were up on the mountain, and here we were with Jesus, and the voice of the Father came to us, and he says it makes the word of God even stronger to us. Why? Because God speaks today. And the scripture comes even more to life. Praise God. Fight the good fight with prophecy, prophetic words. Write them down. Write them down. I read them and I say them and I declare them and write them down when God, and if it's a simple word, just write it down. Write it down. Amen. Took a little longer on that one. Let's go on. We got a bunch more to do. Let's go on now. 1 Timothy 2. All right, first of all, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions. Why? That we may live a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. Every way. Okay? And we're going to, but look at this. He says, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people. And God wants to give us good prayer in verse 3. This is good. This is good to pray for people. And who do we pray for? Just our family members? No, who are we praying for? Everybody. And the hardest people to pray for, come on, be honest. Yes, and leaders like government people. Those are the ones you don't want to pray for. You'd rather curse them than bless them, right? Depending on whatever. I've never seen people who are so crazy, stupid, angry about anything. Politics, that's a good way to get somebody mad really quick. Just cross them politically. So what does Paul say? Pray for them all. Pray for them all. Pray for them all. It says thanksgivings. Thank you, Jesus, for our president. Thank you, Jesus, for our Congress. Thank you, Jesus. Praise. We intercede for them. We pray for them. We lift them up. Lord, we want to live a peaceful and quiet life and godly and dignified in every way. So pray the good prayer. Don't be praying nasty prayers for people that you don't like. Aren't you glad that Jesus says when you're standing praying, forgive? So what I'm saying is I want to encourage you to believe God for the mountain moving faith, but also believe God for moving forgiveness and healing and prayer, because that's a good way to pray, guys, okay? Number three is good prayer. Let's go on. Do the good work of an overseer. Everybody go to 1 Timothy 3. I'm not going to read through the rest of that chapter 2. It's good stuff. Okay, now, the saying is trustworthy. If anyone aspires to the office of an overseer, he desires a good work, noble task. In my Bible, it's translated noble, same word for good. And actually, the word good there has the first kind of meaning of beautiful. Noble, beautiful is something really nice, you know, something beautiful. There's two words for good that I like, but this one that Paul keeps using is kind of has more of a noble, beautiful, precious kind of sense. So he says, do the good work. It is okay to aspire to that, to want to be that way. It is not wrong to not want to be a leader. If you feel the call of God, it's going to change your attitude. And God wants you to do the good work of an overseer. Now, what's an overseer? An overseer is somebody who will get and visit people where they're at. And that's good because you want to know where people are at. An overseer is not somebody who stands on the pulpit and preaches. And that's all they do. They need to be visiting you. They need to be getting with you. They need to kind of know what your life is like because everybody in church is not the same. And you need to be able to just be with people. And that's one of the jobs that you guys are going to be doing. It's just finding people and meeting them where they're at. You know,